broadcasting from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. You are now entering the Cave of Solitude. Welcome back, everybody. I am Eric Anthony, one of your hosts, but not your favorite host. Your favorite host is here with me, though. Do not fret. Stand and state your name.
Lady J is in the house.
Lady J, a.k.a. Daphne J, a.k.a. Lady Symphony, and any other thing you can come up with, right?
That's right.
Welcome back to the show, Daphne J. Exciting times that we are living in. since we were last in the cave, it's been a couple weeks, and we left them with a gem. I thought the last episode we had, where we discussed a little bit of movie madness, I liked it so much, I went out and I bought all those movies you mentioned.
It's so true.
It's true, and I sat and I watched them, and I made fun of you for liking some of them, but it's been a blast, but I've missed being in the cave. It's been a busy time. You know all the stuff that's happened since we've been here?
Yes.
It's been crazy.
It's so insane.
Trailers upon trailers. Movies have been released. Daredevil came out.
Coming out of my ears. There's so much stuff.
We literally went into a cave of solitude, just the two of us, and just consumed all of this stuff that was happening. And most recent thing? Avengers.
Avengers.
Age of Ultron. We got a pre-screening treat. Shout out to Little Sparrow and our wild card for hooking us up with some pre-screening tickets on the Thursday evening before the crowd, before the 12 o'clock showing. We didn't have to do all that because
we're special. We didn't have to do the hustle and bustle and the lineup. None of that. Reserve seating.
That's right.
That's how it went down.
That's how we do. So we're going to talk about that today. That's going to be the main topic of our show. But before we get into that, I want to try to... We got to play catch up. I know me and you have discussed it, but we've got to put it down on recording. All the things that have gone on. What do you want to start with?
Whatevs. What's going on?
You want to start with trailers? There's been a ton of trailers.
Do it.
Okay. So, yesterday, being May or April 30th, just before the Avengers release, it was the first movie that we actually went to the theater for this year.
For a long time.
I know. It felt like there's been a real, slump in movies worth watching at the theater. And I do not count Fast Furious 7. I know a lot of people went out for that. They're going to show it a million times on television.
It's a matter of opinion, really. Yeah. But movie that was seen, really?
Oh, man.
I don't even remember.
I've been waiting to go to the theater again, to be excited to go to the theater again. And all these trailers that have been coming out, I think we're so spoiled with watching trailers as soon as they drop that we miss that excitement of seeing it for the first time on a big screen.
That's why I don't overdo the trailers.
Yeah, and it's hard.
I have a strict rule about that.
It's hard not to, because when you see a first glimpse of something that you really want to see coming out, you want to get it. You want to be in the know. You want to know what's going on, right? How do you say it? Going on. But when you see on the big screen, for instance, quote unquote, Lucasfilms come across the screen and you know it's about to go down. Everyone's seen the Star Wars teaser trailer. And now the official trailer has come out. So for the next 35 minutes, we're going to break down every scene. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But we saw yesterday the trailer on the big screen for Star Wars The Force Awakens. What were your thoughts?
Well, almost shed a tear.
Okay.
Yeah. The Force is strong in my family. I have it. You have it.
Our dog has it.
Even Kobe the dog has it. And so at the end of the so I'm seeing this trailer just before we're watching Avengers. And it's on the big screen.
Getting the vibe, the music, everything.
Everything's happening. Yeah. And then,
it's
and
real.
Then Han Solo says, "Chewie, we're home." And I could feel the Force within me. And it just brought my hands together, and I started clapping. I was so pumped, and then it's like the room got filled and everybody else started clapping.
It's true. True story.
It just happened. And I got so excited. And then I started laughing. I almost stood up.
I gotta say, I was very proud of you. I was not embarrassed that you, because I wanted to clap. And I know everybody else in there wanted to clap. But you started it.
How could you not?
It was good.
It was a moment.
So what are your thoughts on the trailer? Like, from what you've seen so far of the movie and how it's looking and the feel of it, like, we really don't know a lot of the story, really. They're just showing us snapshots and giving us a vibe for it. But your initial thoughts?
I appreciate that, although I'm sure that they're going to give us a fresh taste of what's going to happen. But I feel like they're being true to the authenticity of what we fell in love with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm just excited. I'm excited. I feel like there's going to be some... They're sticking to an origin type of thing. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely something to keep to this time around for the fans. To mm-hmm. really appeal to them, to their love, their sense of... I guess that feeling of home. Like, mm-hmm. like Han Solo said, like, it really did feel... the authenticity of it. Whereas, I mean, the first Star Wars movie are heavily criticized and much maligned for different reasons. But, I mean, I still enjoyed them.
Are you talking about episode 1?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Sorry, guys. I'm not a fan of those.
None of them?
I do not like episode 1.
Okay.
I don't like it.
A lot of people don't. Most people don't like any of those three. It's even hardcore Star Wars fans. They just
I'm good with the ones that came out.
You like the original,
yeah,
yeah. And that's the thing. These ones, this trailer really harkens back to that feeling of the stuff you know and love.
Yeah, at least that's the feel that I get that's from this feel. Trailer.
Yes,
right.
The one thing I will say though, and this was something that Daryl at Cyber City Comics brought to my attention was. It's not something that would, if you didn't know anything about Star Wars, it wouldn't drive you to go and watch it. It's definitely something for those who have a familiarity, a love for it already. Mm-hmm. So okay. In that sense of it...
But really, who doesn't know Star Wars? And we were talking about this yesterday. Like, it's going to be a huge hit. Because, I mean, we're 80s babies. And yeah. These movies came out way before we were even a thing, what's that called? A sparkle in our parents' eyes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this was our parents' movies.
True.
You know what I mean? So I think it's going to draw back not just our generation, but even before us.
Oh,
you know, yeah. it's gonna be a hit.
Yeah, for sure. It's I mean, Disney's going to rule the theaters as always, but like, they're starting off now with the Avengers is going to be huge, mm-hmm. naturally. And then they end the year off with Star Wars, which is probably going to be the biggest movie event that people are in anticipation for in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to be, like, true to the...
Core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, speaking of trailers that came out that week of Star Wars, another trailer that we're of a movie that we're heavily anticipating... Mm-hmm. with a very complicated and overly long title. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. I first saw the trailer on that bootleg version. I got
the Brazilian?
I got a link to somebody's phone in Brazil that showed me the trailer, and I got excited even with that garbage quality version of it. Later in that day, Zack Snyder released the official version, which was much more clearer and crisper.
I think he was forced to do it.
He had to.
Yeah.
People are unfairly comparing trailers now because they're saying, oh, it's not as good as a Star Wars trailer. First of all, this is a teaser trailer.
It's also a different story.
It's completely like, different, but it's a teaser trailer.
Right. But I don't think it's fair to compare apples to oranges. You know, it's a different take on things. It's a completely different story, different characters, different universe. Everything. You can't.
What's your reaction to it? This is the first real look of the tone of the movie. How the Batman looks. Like, you see movement. You know what I mean? You see these guys. You see the imagery of Superman. They're really pushing this Superman being a Christ-like figure agenda and how the world's reacting to it. And you get that Dark Knight Returns scene at the end with the, "Do you bleed?" Yeah. What did you think of it all? Do you like the direction they're going with this?
Okay, kids, let me tell you a story.
Oh, boy.
I've had a rough couple of weeks. I've been diagnosed with this plantar fasciitis. If you don't know what that is, let me tell you. It's hashtag hell on earth. Okay? So, it's pain at the bottom of my foot, at my heel, actually. And so, as time went on, I could not walk. It was terrible.
Immobilized.
And then, so, this thing comes out. This trailer comes out. And I watched it. And I honestly felt, in that moment, that I could walk again. Oh. I felt full of life. Just come back to me. So I got excited.
It did it for you.
I got excited. And then, okay, and now I'm, because I was very skeptical way in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sign a petition. I didn't want Ben Affleck all up in this
Why?
Thing.
Why? What was it about Ben Affleck?
Just,
too recognizable?
I've mentioned that to you before. I don't trust him.
Trust him?
I don't trust him to carry on the mantle of the Batman.
I don't trust, if anything, I don't trust the directors of movies. That's where, because they're the ones who make it. If you guys hear barking in the background, that's just our guard dog, Colby the Lab. Trying to protect the home, don't mind her. It's the director really that makes the movie, though. Like, people blame, they're always like, "Oh, I hope he doesn't Daredevil this." And like, Daredevil wasn't his fault, first of all. Like, that's the director's. He makes the movie. He is the one who's directing the actors. So
But you can't fault the fans for using, or in any circumstance, using someone's a reference. You know, when you go get a job, they look at your history.
Sure.
They see what you've done, what you've accomplished.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know, however, that being said, when I saw him with his salt pepper hair, and it was the dark, grim, serious, focused Bruce Wayne, I kind of bought it.
Yeah, no, he definitely looks like Bruce Wayne. I think he could play great Bruce Wayne and a great...
His chin drives me up the wall, because that's a dead giveaway. But when I... In that moment when I saw him standing there, I bought it. And I got excited a little bit. Like I said, I felt like I could go. I could move.
Okay. Unbiasedly, and it's hard not to be, but unbiasedly, do you think that Batman v Superman is going to be the movie event that everybody's really waiting for? Or do you think it's going to pale in comparison to Captain America Civil War? At this point, with all of the build-up and quality of Marvel Studios and them constantly making quality movies out of stuff that people are dismissive about in the first place, like, what do you think at this point, unbiasedly? You think it has the juice? It's Batman or Superman.
I want it to have the juice. I don't think it has it. And I say that with a heavy heart.
Yeah.
I think DC is lagging behind a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they're putting a lot on, they're putting a lot on Batman's shoulders, thinking that that's the one character that's going to carry them along. It doesn't work that way.
Good point.
I think Marvel's playing it smart. They're blowing everything out of the water right now. I wish I could say, I mean, I'm going to see it still regardless.
Like, oh yeah. I'm
there.
Yeah.
I have high hopes, but even the fact that I'm telling you, so I saw the trailer, I was pumped, I was excited. And now as time goes on, I'm still nervous. I'm going back to that initial, what are they doing, kind of thing. But here's to hoping. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I get very excited when I see stuff from it. Like, it, I got goosebumps watching the trailer first couple times. And that's
the other thing, right? Because I don't overdo the trailers. Like, I watch them once because I don't want to kill it. So I want to stick to that initial excitement.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think DC really dropped the ball by letting Chris Nolan have his way with the Batman movies. As great as Batman Begins and Dark Knight was, and even Dark Knight Rises was still a quality movie. I don't think, by the time we got to Dark Knight Rises, that movie, as time goes on, I think is going to become much more maligned and criticized and be the root of the problem with the direction the DC movies went. Because they allowed him to close off that universe and not expand it. He's like, this is my story. Don't touch Batman. There's no other characters that live in this universe. Think about it. If at the end of Dark Knight Returns, or if there is some sort of, sorry, Dark Knight, if there is some type of a reference, or, I don't know.
It's exciting. It's exciting to hear the potential of a story going further than being limited to, right. like there's barriers around it.
Yeah, because they could have, his whole thing was, this is Batman's world. He lives in a world without superheroes because look at how we've created this world around him. Mm-hmm. It's a real world story. But
I think that story, I feel like I'm cutting you off all the time. I think that story still could have been told with certain fantasy? Is that the word I'm looking
for? Absolutely.
Like, it's still absolutely possible to tell a real story
absolutely
with some
absolutely
kind of,
absolutely. And I think that is my biggest bone to pick with those movies, as quality as they are. And I like Christopher Nolan very much as a director. I think he makes great stuff that's rewatchable. I think he's...
They dug themselves their own grave.
Yeah. And Marvel looked at it and be like, why would we do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? We can
why
make...
Why limit ourselves?
Yeah. Why everybody likes these books? Because these characters live in the same world.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did right was they made an Iron Man movie look like an Iron Man movie. When they made Thor, they didn't make it like Iron Man.
They put in Asgard.
Yeah, they did everything that Thor is.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you feel like, well, this is a completely different story, but they uniquely tie it in with the other stuff. They connect it very nicely, but still keeping true to that character, to the feel of that director, his vision for the movie, but having little Easter eggs, little continuity things. Captain America was a period piece movie,
mm-hmm,
the first one,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
where they told it from World War II, like, incredible. And how they bring it all together seamlessly after. DC totally dropped the ball on that, and I think now, by the time it comes out, I think I don't know, I just don't think people will be as excited for it, which saddens me because it's been my dream since I was a kid to see Superman and Batman live action on the big screen. But you're right, you made a great point. DC, they look at their roster and everything's Batman, 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 Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this like Batman. Let's make a Green Arrow TV show, but let's really make it a Batman TV show.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Put in Ra's al Ghul and make it
Let's
this
use
story.
Batman's Batman
yeah.
references.
Everything's got to be a Batman feel. And I love Batman a lot. It's documented, but I'm sick of DC doing everything through Batman. So, here's hoping. What else did we see yesterday? Ant-Man. I had very little, like, I'd be like, why are they making Ant-Man? I mean, I know Guardians of the Galaxy. I was like, why are they making Guardians of the Galaxy? But Ant-Man looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
It look, and
that's Phoebe's boyfriend that's playing Ant-Man.
You mean Paul Rudd?
Sure.
Phoebe's husband.
Okay.
He's also in Clueless. You remember him in Clueless?
No.
Yeah.
Clueless the movie?
Yeah.
With Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah. She was her stepbrother who she gets with at the end of the movie.
No idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks great. I don't know if they're going to be making any more Ant-Mans, or if they're going to tie him into being an Avenger, which would be neat, because he's a... Hank Pym, who Michael Douglas is playing, was a founding member of the Avengers, and the actual guy who creates Ultron, but we'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool if they put the Scott Lang character who Paul Rudd is playing, insert him into the Avengers possibly. I hope so.
We never know.
But I hope this isn't a miss. So far, everything Marvel Studios has done has been getting better and better, top notch.
I always get them confused. The Spider-Man movies, were those Marvel Studios?
No, those are Sony.
Oh, okay. Okay. Those are Sony. The Garfield ones. Are Sony.
Yes, the Garfield ones are Sony.
Okay.
But he's going to be now, it's going to be a collaborative effort. Sony and Marvel Studios are now going to be both sharing Spider-Man.
Oh, so they're working together.
Yes, so okay. Spider-Man is going to be...
So there's potential of improvement.
Yes, they're actually announced the title for the next Spider-Man movie is going to be called the New Avenger.
What?
Spider-Man the New Avenger.
They're bringing him in.
They're going to bring him in.
No,
he's
going
to be somehow inserted into the Civil War story.
He has to be a pivotal character in that storyline, of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, good job.
And they're saying that it's going to be Asa Butterfield, who's going to possibly... He's
Maze Runner.
No. He was also up for...
Bean.
Ender.
Yeah!
Ender's Game, yes. Okay. They're saying that he's a top contender for the role, but they're going to make it a young Peter Parker in high school. They're going to go back to the roots of a young teenage Peter Parker.
Another origin.
No, it's not going to be an origin, though.
The setting?
That's his setting.
Oh, okay.
But they're not going to have to do
They're not going to retelling the story again.
Yeah, no, okay. I think they know people are tired of that. And at this point, we all know Spider-Man probably better than every other character.
All right.
So, we'll see. So that's exciting.
Fantastic Four we saw.
Fantastic Four as well. That's not Marvel Studios.
No.
And that movie, I'm going to watch... I know you might not want to come with me to see it.
I'm a little underwhelmed with that trailer.
But I'm underwhelmed with the idea of the Fantastic Four movies because the first two were horrible and it hasn't switched over to Marvel Studios.
This is obviously not a continuation of the other. This is starting from scratch.
So it has a different look, different feel.
Can I just say something quick?
Go ahead.
There's a lot of House of Cards characters that are playing these movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the Ant-Man,
yeah,
the bad guy,
yeah,
he was in the House of Cards show.
Right.
He played, I think, some kind of senator or whatever. I don't know his name. But then, in Fantastic Four, there's this redhead chick who plays Sue Storm. I guess she's blonde in the movie now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But she was in the House of Cards.
Yes.
And then... In the House of Cards, there was this, restaurant owner. I think his name was Frank. He's in Fantastic Four, playing her father.
Isn't Frank the main character from...
You're right. Sorry.
It's where Frank goes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, what's his name? Don't know. But he apparently makes the best ribs for Frank, the president, I think. I don't even know what's going on in that story. But, anyway... These House of Cards people have transitioned into the comic world.
Yeah.
I think people are getting a whiff of how cool
it is to play these characters.
Yeah.
I think, too, if it's written well and the material strong, this stuff has been being written and revised and so many different creative minds have added to the legacy of these characters and creations. There's a lot of good material there, mm-hmm. ready to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finally getting to the point where I think using the essence, not making direct adaptations, panel for panel of a comic book, but using, the essence of these stories, the characters of these stories, and all of their personalities true to what the stories were originally,
mm-hmm.
you see how good this stuff could be.
Well, and I bring this point up because I feel I like unrecognizable faces playing these characters.
Yes,
because
yes.
Then I'm not seeing
the actor. Right,
I'm seeing the character.
Yes, yes.
But what is occurring to me is that I think Hollywood is starting to not shy away from it's not a kid movie anymore.
Right.
It's not just a comic book
silly
plaything.
Let's sell toys type of thing.
You know, it's not a plaything anymore. It's an actual cool people like this stuff. And now I think I obviously I don't know what these people are doing, but because there's such a bigger what's the word I'm looking for?
Demographic.
There's a bigger population of superstars who are finding themselves in these roles.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas before, it was like, let's just find someone who kind of looks the character and see if they can do it, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now there's more recognizable faces. So I think the celebrity world is getting an idea of how, like, it's an in being playing these roles.
Yeah, and before, when you would be cast in these roles, it would take a very famous, recognizable, talented actor, and then they would ham it up completely because they're playing a comic book character.
Yeah.
Like, I think the one actor or the one movie where you kind of saw these people playing a character straight back in the day would have maybe been like Christopher Reeve's Superman
mm-hmm.
or Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton
yeah.
in that original. Because they,
right.
because Michael Keaton wasn't cast as someone that you would pick.
No. And there was
role.
Like
and
an uproar,
was,
no?
Yeah,
when
it was.
He was going to play Batman because he was
probably
all comedy
more,
and stuff.
Probably more than the Ben Affleck uproar.
Yeah.
But afterwards, like you look at Batman Forever, Batman
mm-hmm.
and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the actors that are in the movie.
And their nipples.
Batman's suit had nipples, not the actor's nipples.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but you weren't clear about that. Like, you had Nicole Kidman.
Uma Thurman. Jim Carrey. Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
This is taking me... This
George
is making
Clooney.
Me feel icky.
All people who are Oscar-caliber actors. Maybe not Jim Carrey.
I threw up in my mouth a little
yeah.
bit.
Like,
next.
Right?
Terrible.
It's crazy. But you think of how they played these roles, and it's just like, wow, they just hammed it up because it was a comic book character. But now it's not like that. Take it much more like it's a real role.
See, but play. Then, okay, going back to your point, is it the actor or is it the director?
I think it's both. I think it's them taking...
Yeah, so that then I don't disagree. I disagree a little bit with your
it's definitely
theory
the
about Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
But he didn't play a bad Daredevil. He didn't play a bad Matt Murdock. It was just a poorly directed movie. He
okay,
did a lot of...
But he still played the... Well, okay, I hear what you're saying, but...
Yeah, he didn't play the character badly. He took the role serious. But anyways, we're going to get to Daredevil in a second. I'm not going to talk about that movie, Daredevil. I'm kind of a little bit more optimistic about the Fantastic Four movie. It looks like it's more... has more potential than the other ones that they made. That had, you know, Ben Grimm in a rubber suit and Captain America playing Johnny Storm. I'm kind of interested to see how Johnny and Sue are still siblings. I guess they're adopted, being from a biracial family.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't care that Johnny Storm was African American, but I would just imagine that Sue Storm would be too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of the Fantastic Four is the family dynamic.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the strength of that story. Always has been. It's really The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Right? That's,
yeah.
The Incredibles is based off the Fantastic Four.
Hmm.
And they pretty much...
Is that a matter of opinion or is that fact?
It's pretty much fact. When you think about it, you got a stretchy person. You got a really strong person.
Oh, you got a little fire person at the end.
The little girl has force field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the powers are represented in The Incredibles, but Disney didn't own Fantastic Four at the time,
hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they made, like, a pastiche of Fantastic
what?
Four.
A pash what? Pashmina.
No, pastiche. Like, an analog of those characters, like a version of it.
Okay.
Is that better?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Are you going to come watch Fantastic Four with me?
Well, of course I'm going to go,
okay.
But I'm not going willingly.
Okay, I'm dragging you in there. Jurassic World, tell me about that. We just saw the trailer just before the show started. What are your thoughts? I'm excited. I think you're going to scream in the theater. I think you're going to cry.
Okay.
I want to know.
Jurassic Park is very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, that's one movie you really...
Like, I know the lines to that movie. Like, I know what people say. I say them before they say it, kind of thing. Like, I know that movie like the back of my hand.
You know that movie like Cool Runnings.
All right.
And Three Musketeers.
All right. I'm excited for that.
I can't wait for you to scream.
I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to take to it, seeing as the years have gone by and I have gotten more sensitive to...
creatures.
Yeah. Creatures, animals, being caught in this... even when they're bad. Godzilla can't watch Godzilla, poor thing. Gets shot up. And it just, like, looks at you as it's dying.
No, don't think about it, because you're going to start crying thinking about Godzilla being
killed. But that's what I'm saying. So even though, like, I'm good with people getting eaten and stuff. I'm good with that.
Oh, yeah, critters.
But, really? You want to go there?
Yeah. No, we're not going to go back there.
But I am excited. Just a little nervous now, because, I don't know, I'm a little sensitive to these animals getting hurt. Like, you know, when you see the goat about to get eaten from the T-Rex in part one, it appears that they're doing the same. They're referring a lot to the first Jurassic Park. Like, obviously it's not a spoiler. I mean, the trailer's out. The fact that there's this huge dinosaur that's attacking two children in a glass pod.
Mm.
We've seen that before with Lexi and her brother when they were in the car.
I don't know if are they attacking them? Yeah, maybe you're right.
Well, yeah.
I saw the part where it looks like they were on a ride. That's
the premise of the movie.
No, it looked like they were in that glass thing, but they're on a ride. Like,
whatever it is.
But yeah, I think you're right.
Like,
I think, yeah.
Lexi and her brother were on a ride. I don't know what happened to them.
Remember her brother's name?
Yeah. Tim.
Okay.
What, are you testing me?
I'm testing you, yeah.
Timmy.
Okay. Timmy. So, movies in that same vein of making something old new again. The other trailer that we saw yesterday in the theater was Terminator Genesis. I stand by my opinion that they should never have made another Terminator after T2. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
Done. Why are you telling the story? I thought you did all of this.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what's the problem now.
And I'm almost deterred.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'll watch it out of obligation. I'm watching it out of obligation. I have to see it now. It's like Grey's Anatomy. Friggin' Grey's Anatomy. I've dedicated my life to this show.
Oh, man. You dedicated your life.
I was committed. And now,
that's just
the creator of Grey's Anatomy is also known as the destroyer of Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy, a.k.a. let's kill everybody.
I feel like now I don't want to watch it.
Welcome to the Grey's Anatomy soapbox.
But I gotta watch it. I gotta know what's going on.
I'm done.
So with Terminator, I'm feeling like I thought we did all of this. You did all of this stuff. You blew up the building. You came back from the past, from the future. You did all these stuff to avoid what we're doing again. I feel like it's a little redundant.
I don't. Yeah, I want to see it. Hopefully that it will redeem the other movies that ruined it for me. But I could also see it going very badly. Be like, again, they didn't have to make this one. But that is yet to be seen.
With Jurassic Park, though, I have to say, my favorite character has always been the Velociraptors. They are so sick. And it appears that they are
teaming up with the humans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It just looks like it. Yeah.
I think they'll still turn on them.
Also, the scientist, never knew his name. And if they said it, I never paid attention to it. He was the scientist that was working in the lab.
Oh, where that machine. It's him again?
Right, where the machine was turning the eggs. And then the baby velociraptor was born. Remember that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, and he was the one saying that all the dinosaurs are female.
Yes, that's him.
He's in this, in this one here, the new one.
It back. I like that.
A little salt and pepper, that guy. Looks the same.
He does. Hasn't aged.
No, not a day.
Yeah, I was like, is that the same guy? Seems very
familiar. So I think, based upon what you were saying, taking something old and making it new again, I think, like, these movies are classics. Like, Terminator is a classic. Jurassic is a classic.
Star Wars
is the classic. Everything. They're just, those stuff, they're ageless. And they're trying to bring it back.
Speaking of something old and making it new, again, Daredevil on Netflix. It's not based off of a classic movie, but it's definitely based off of classic comic books. I highly recommend people to read Daredevil books. Frank Miller, Man Without Fear, all his run. We covered Daredevil Yellow, but this television show, we watched all 13.
We took it slow.
We didn't binge it in a weekend.
No. We know people that did.
What are your thoughts on it? What do you think of it?
It was good. It was good. I liked it.
Incredible.
Nothing else to say. It was amazing.
Yeah. I never thought it really like took every emotion that I could have taking in media, watching something, and just totally took every emotion out of me. Fear, sadness, happiness, sense of justice, like everything. And the way it's filmed, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who watches it, but I will say, if you have children, do not think you should let your children watch a superhero show, because it's not meant for them. It really isn't.
I think with Netflix, what happens is that because they're not restricted to certain things,
it's not a network television show like The Flash. It's not,
but I don't think they crossed the line. Like they don't. I didn't hear any F-bombs or anything like that.
No nudity. No sex scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a realistic take on what can happen when you are a superhero. Like at the end of the day, armored up or whatever you want to call it, you're still gonna come home with a couple of bruises and banged here and there. Like it's gonna happen.
But this was the most legit thing I had ever seen. Of wasn't like other movies in the past where I'm trying to think of one, but it was just incredible.
Yeah.
The way it's filmed, the cinematography, the performances of the actors, they play it straight. There's enough humor, but it's...
The Mighty Ducks guy, isn't it?
He plays Foggy Nelson, perfectly cast. Vincent D'Onofrio plays the Kingpin. I mean...
He played Thor in Adventures of Babysitting?
Yes, he did. Man, I am... It was like the character came up from the page, and I will never read or see Kingpin again other than the way that this guy performed it. It was pitch perfect.
It was good. My only gripe with him, which also as time went on, I started to appreciate, was he was this power-crazed control freak.
Yes.
And people were so fearful of him.
Couldn't even say his name.
But he was... He just reminded me of a big 2-year-old on the verge of having a tantrum.
And that was on purpose.
And I was like, what? He's like stuttering and he's like, doesn't know how to emulate his words and doesn't know how to express himself. And he's hesitating on how he's, you know what I mean? There was this like, I just wanted to shake him. Like, seriously, like, you are this crazy, powerful, everyone fears you. He had, like,
this softness, this insecurity to him. Where,
yeah, very insecure.
And then when he didn't get his way, it was just, like, a tangent. And it was meant to be that way, because he's this huge man that has never really grown up out of that shell of a boy.
I wasn't aware, until the show, that he was also a top villain of Daredevil. I always associated him with Spider-Man.
Because he was originally a Spider-Man villain. You're right.
Okay. It would make sense that because Spider-Man and Daredevil are in New York, so it would make sense that there would be that connection.
Yeah. Now he is much more associated with Daredevil because of the direction Frank Miller took Daredevil back in the late 70s, early 80s.
So it was a bit of a surprise, though, because you said that the guy that played what was his name, Birkin?
Ben Urich. Don't spoil.
What are you talking about? It's been on Netflix for a month.
Don't spoil it.
What are you talking about? Why?
Okay, spoiler alert. Daphne's going to spoil it.
Why did he die?
So
soon. Pivotal character, you told me.
I thought they would use him more, but I mean, the way that he did die, it was a fitting, not fitting, it's never fitting when someone dies, but it was a change that was like, okay, I understand why they made that change. I see where.
So this was a part of the story where you could forgive that they kind of went off the cuff a little bit, didn't follow the script.
But he
was a pivotal character.
He was, but the way that they included him.
Just like McDreamy was a pivotal character in Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, that's just shoddy writing. The way that they did it with Daredevil, like, it's not even close to that. But, even the way that they casted Ben Urich in the comic books isn't
he's not a black man.
Yeah, he's not African American, but I mean, this guy played it perfect. And they added to these characters. They added layers to these characters that are there, but then when you see it, I'm saying, for me, this is the best thing Marvel has ever made. Marvel Studios. This is tops. Tops Guardians of the Galaxy, tops Captain America, Winter Soldier, which I love. I love that movie. This is just top quality. And if it...
Yeah, I think it captured the reality of the corruption that is in what we face today. Like, when, you know... Again, I'm spoiling it. But, like, the fact that, like, even law enforcement has the potential of being corrupted. Governments, like, it as dark and as grim as it was at times, because there were times where, like, whoa,
completely.
But it's also mind tricks, right? I found that even though you didn't really see a lot of stuff, the idea that
you knew what was happening,
it was, and your mind is what takes you to those dark places, right? You're like, wait.
Yeah, it is dark. It's definitely dark. There are some frightening
scenes. Kind of reminded me of Dark Knight, where you never saw the Joker slice anyone open when he had Gambit by the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But just by the way the song or the score would hit.
Yes, you knew what happened.
You knew something happened. And you're like, ah!
This show, though, does have a little bit more
edge. It does. I'm not saying it doesn't. But what I'm saying is, you know, having it not be a public network something or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They didn't, I don't.
Abuse it.
They didn't abuse it. That's the word.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, top marks for the quality of the acting,
the storytelling, script,
the storytelling, the pacing, everything about it.
I like that not everybody was good looking. I just have to say that.
Yeah, no, it was very real world.
Yeah,
they did they tied.
Not to say that the actors were hideous.
No, but
but like in comics, like everybody has the perfect body, everyone's beautiful.
Like the Avengers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but like it was, like you said, it was very real world.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the other stuff they put out. Hopefully, it stays at that quality, and I'm pretty certain that they will. They got good people doing it. Let's talk about the Avengers. Age of Ultron. Been waiting 3 years for this sequel. Usually, these big budget movies, these sequels, once they come out, they very rarely live up to the hype or the quality of the first movie. How did you enjoy the movie last night?
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was lots of fun. I have to say, the bad guy, I think, was my favorite.
Of course.
He was so good.
Absolutely. But
the dialogue that he had, his even though it was machine, it was very, I saw the human part of it.
Yes.
And the drive
of
this thing.
And the sarcasm.
Oh my goodness, it died.
That Spader. Yeah, no, it was a great performance.
It was good. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he was snarky, he was funny, he had like, he was a no business, no, what's that called? Anyway, he was
nonsense.
Good. No nonsense kind of guy. Like, he delivered.
Oh yeah.
It was good. I liked it.
I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I was excited going into it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody because it has just come out. So if anybody does end up listening to it, but everything that I've seen in the trailer, I didn't expect it to be in the places where they were. There was little things that I was very surprised with. character development wise that I didn't have any idea about.
Mm-hmm.
You really get to spend more time with Hawkeye this time around, which you didn't get to see in the first movie, which was really cool. Because, I mean, that's quality, another quality actor. Jeremy Renner, that you kind of saw in the first movie be a villain, and he had some key moments later on, but he wasn't, I don't think they used him to his full potential. This time I felt like they really took their time. And considering how many characters there were in the movie, I didn't feel like it was overly bloated the way the criticism that it's been receiving, saying there's way too many characters, you don't know what's happening. There was a portion in the movie at the climax where I was like, okay, there's a lot going on. Who's doing what? Who's fighting who? And how is this getting resolved? I was trying to put that all together. But again, this is one of those movies that you repeat your viewing of it.
Mm-hmm. I also think that at the end of the day, criticize all you want. When you see that another character, you're like, oh, how cool, he's there. Like, yeah. When they make a cameo, you get excited.
Yeah, of course.
I like that they didn't overdo it. Like, okay, what's his name? Falcon made an appearance,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't particularly see him take over the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, I always forget his name, but I know his real name. Idris Elba.
Yes.
He made an appearance. Again, didn't take over the story, but he was there. Another character. Or like Pirates of the Caribbean. The dad. Turner. Will Turner. No. Bootstrap.
Bootstraps. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eric Selwig. Yeah, okay, yeah. Dude was in it. But again, like, it wasn't overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I think when things were happening, it was overwhelming. But I don't think the amount of characters that were presented.
But you'd also, you know, there's also expectation that...
Well, it's an Avengers movie, yeah, man. Like, it's a team movie. Yeah. What do you expect? You're going to hate on the fact that people showed up? I'd be more upset if they didn't.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I've said this before, like, you know, I understand that Tony Stark has his story to tell and Captain America has his world that he's in and Thor is in a different
realm
altogether. But at the end of the day, at this point, they have a relationship. There's a dynamic. There's a team up. So when Tony was head-to-head with the Mandarin, and the fact that nobody
showed up
to even say what's going on.
You need a hand?
Well, yeah, like, it wasn't just a local situation. It was worldwide. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was taking over the internet. The Mandarin made a worldwide threat
mm-hmm.
to the, you know, and spoke directly to the President of the United States. Like, mm-hmm. I understand that they're going to probably be busy with their own little tasks on the side,
mm-hmm.
but a phone call, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's the consideration here? Like, you're not going to look in and then see how I'm doing? So, that's where, like, especially because there's been references of them having played together,
mm-hmm.
having assembled
mm-hmm.
together. I don't
played
mind.
Together.
I don't mind them having popped up.
Yeah.
And...
They're rolling in the same circles. Like, you want to see Falcon with Cap. You want to see that because it's going to be something reoccurring.
Yeah.
You want to see Heimdall. I couldn't remember his name. Idris Elba's character was driving me nuts. And I'm like, it's Heimdall. That was all those little things that they flashes of stuff that they would have was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to This Week in Marvel today, and the producer of the Avengers, Age of Ultron, had said that this time around they really wanted to make it, they didn't want to tread on the same waters as much as, you know, it's an Avengers movie and it's going to be, stakes are big and it's the huge battle in a city. They wanted it to be instant, where the director, Joss Whedon, had said, you know, we got to do something. I don't want to build it up and then there's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be that if people walk in and miss the first 2 minutes of this movie, they've really lost their money.
Huh.
So you have to be there for as soon as the movie starts. And it definitely pays off. Like, you sit in your seat and you're on a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the initial action sequence at the beginning of the movie was the hardest part to do, the hardest part to film. And it was complex. And it was almost something you... When I saw those shots in the trailer, I thought that was the climax of the movie. Mm. You know, that's how good it was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when I, after I saw that, I'm like, what are they going to do next? Like, this is going to be nuts.
And that's the thing. I think, like you said, with character development, I mean, the first time we saw them come together, it was chaos. You know what I mean? As opposed to now, it was obviously a team up. They recognize each other's skills and they work with it. Especially when Cap and Thor would do their thing.
Team up, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was great.
It was cool to see them work together.
Yeah.
Versus when they initially met, it was like, you're in my way.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
They don't have to go through that whole preamble. Who the heck are you? Who do you think you are? Okay,
yeah. There was a dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you're right.
And it's cool to see that. Awesome. That's what people want to see.
And, you know, as this is the most far-fetched scenario you could ever imagine, to have all of these six characters, like a big, huge green monster that's... there's no limit to his power. A god of thunder. A guy dressed up in an eye. Like, all these things about them. Mm-hmm. But when you see them in a room together or talking to each other, just even on their comm links, you can't help but believe that these are really the people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Lost
in their world. Yeah,
you really do. Like, even their banter, it seems so organic when they're teasing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as there's these action sequences, there's just the right amount of humor that doesn't make it cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But almost like, yeah, that's what somebody would say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they don't always necessarily have to get together when the world is falling apart. Like, they're probably going to go get a drink together after this kind of thing.
And they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're chilling out at the Avengers Tower, right?
Yeah.
And they have, like, a little party there. And that's where you really see the cameos of everybody coming together and their interactions with each other. Those are some of my favorite parts. When they all try to pick up the hammer.
Now that we've recognized what we do like of the movie, what was something that you did not, that you could have done without?
The one thing I think I could have done without was, and this is not a spoiler, this is something that has been written in the all the reviews, is the relationship between
Black Widow and Hulk. Blah.
But I don't like I wasn't expecting it, and I didn't see any sort of hints that it was ever going to go in that direction.
Mm-mm.
But the one thing I did like about it, thinking about it today after having watched it, was the correlation between how different they are, but how similar they actually are. They both see themselves, one is a literal monster and feels that he can't be a part of society. And another person, and Black Widow, was turned into a monster herself without being exposed to some sort of horrible science experiment. They both feel completely detached from...
And unworthy of
being able to love or to be loved. So on that level, I really... When I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? That really makes sense when you see the correlation between the two of them. How they're both these islands unto themselves of people.
Hmm, that's a good point.
So I'm like, you know what? In that sense, it does make sense that they would come together. It's almost like the natural thing of maybe Superman and Wonder Woman being the ones that should be together, because there's no one who could relate to the other one like they could, kind of thing. So after further reviewing it, the one thing I didn't like, I'm like, you know what? That kind of works. I don't mind that so much. Other than that, I didn't really have any big gripes with the movie. I know some people don't like, they're tired of seeing all the destruction in superhero movies. It started with, you know, the Transformers being overdone, and then Man of Steel was heavily criticized because of that, and I'm not sure why. And this movie's, I think, on equal playing ground. Mm-hmm. There's just as much destruction. But I mean, look at the characters. That's what's going to happen. The stakes are high.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. The villain, in order for these heroes to be who they are, you have to have the villain. That like you said, your favorite character is the villain for a reason. He has to be the best
character.
It's
kind of like our conversation when we went over the Civil War storyline, you know? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, okay, this is what happens. But the heroes don't look for trouble. It's just whatever's handed to them. They kind of have to deal with it. So...
And this movie's interesting, though. The point you bring up is interesting because in this case, they're... One of them is kind of the cause of the problem.
Well, yeah, but they weren't. Although they were like somewhat responsible for what happened, that wasn't their intention. This thing took it a step further and then started wreaking havoc. What are they gonna do? Just sit back and let it happen?
No, absolutely not. But it's always, I find it an interesting character study when you. Because they see, oh, here's a bad guy, here's a team, or here's a superhero, go out, beat him, save the day, yay. We go home, everything's good, we go for shawarma. But in this case, Ultron was really just a reflection of its creator, Tony Stark, right? It's a departure from the comic books, it was actually Ant-Man who created Ultron in the books, but in this one,
Tony... What? Elaborate?
In the comic books...
You said that so suave, like, we're all supposed to know what... What are you talking about, Ant-Man creating Ultron?
In the comic books, Ant-Man is the person who creates Ultron.
So he was a bad guy? Was he...
No, he was part of the Avengers, just like Tony Stark is in the movie. He wanted to create an artificial intelligence that could be helpful, that could be an improvement, that could add something to humanity.
So it's his fault.
Yeah. And in this story, it's essentially Tony's
fault. But I thought you said Michael Douglas's character is the one that created Ultron.
Yes, Michael Douglas's character, Hank Pym, in the Ant-Man movie, is the original Ant-Man. He's the first guy to be Ant-Man. And Hank...
Okay. Yeah, Hank, so he created...
He created it, which is not something that they had the opportunity to insert into this universe.
Right.
But... Ultron's a dark reflection of Tony Stark, and the way that he's, like, the sarcasm of Ultron.
Okay.
His humor at inappropriate times, it's almost self-deprecating, but always in your face. A lot of the things that he says to people, they're like, wait a second, that's what he says. They always knew what, like, sometimes the lines he would
finish.
No
way.
That's the thing, right, is that it's more than just a destruction movie. This was the dark part of him, and... The Ultron is like a calculative, everything is like, well, if we're going to do this the right way and if we calculate to the precise thing that we need to do, this is the solution, right? Eliminate the humans because we're really our biggest enemies, our biggest problems, right? So it was interesting to see that develop and to kind of... If you look at the movie from that perspective, as opposed to just, oh, it's, you know, big bombs and people fighting and yay, guys in costumes, there's more to it. There's layers to it. There's something to talk about afterwards when you see it in that way. Because we all have that opposite reflection of ourselves within us. There's this good part and this bad part of us. You gonna say something?
No.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I was surprised with it. And I'd been reading stuff leading up to it. I was reading a bunch of Avenger stories, like classic Ultron stories, classic Avenger team-ups to kind of get familiarized with the Vision and Ultron. And I have to say it helped. I didn't think it
would.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that because as much as people go in, I don't think you need to know history of... You don't need to know everything about these characters. You can just go in and enjoy it. But when you do have a bit of a background, there's more of an appreciation.
Yeah.
Because then you get those little, you find those little nuggets.
Yes.
And then you're like, ah, that makes sense. Because you start connecting the dots.
Yeah. Right? And you see what they did right.
Right.
And you see why, oh, I get why they had to do that. Or I see where they're taking this. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Where other people are like, who's that now?
Yeah.
And why is, like, even with, the Scarlet Witch character, if you know the little bit of the story, you realize why she has a certain reaction to when the Vision is being made, when she can read his mind, when she couldn't read Ultron's mind. Like, there's certain things that she does that is essential to that story, because they're a romantic couple in the comic books. They get married, the Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah.
So all these little things that if you know it, it means so much more to you. And just to see Vision, like, if you go back 30 years, you would have never thought that these characters, let alone an Avengers movie, but the Vision, like an android like that to be on the screen.
And I didn't even know who this guy was until yesterday, to tell you the truth. I was like, what? Right. Why is Jarvis talking?
Did you know that Jarvis, the artificial, or the what does Tony call it? It's not a security system.
Program?
It is program that he designed. Is actually the butler of the Avengers. Like a...
So he's Alfred Pennyworth in the Marvel Universe.
Yes, exactly.
Knock off.
And in the
although I like Jarvis, but it's a little bit...
Well, they all have butlers.
Familiar.
Yes, it's true. But in the Agent Carter TV show, they actually have the real guy Jarvis, who was the butler for Tony Stark's dad. And I think there was a... I don't know if there was a deleted scene, but it was referenced that Tony Stark had made the program Jarvis because he had a connection to the butler from when he was a kid. So he made it sound and interact with him like that because it was a comfort for him. But I don't think they ever told that story in the Iron Man movies. So they wanted to use that actor that was the voice of Jarvis. They wanted to give him like an actual role. So to turn him into the Vision was fitting, so that when he speaks, it actually sounds like the voice we've become familiar with.
Yeah.
So I thought these little things that they changed.
They tie it in nicely.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, they do it really good.
Do you have a favorite fight scene?
Favorite fight scene? I'm gonna say. I'm like, okay, there were so many.
I know.
Jeez. I'm trying to think.
Okay, you think about it. I'll give one. I thought the Hulkbuster thing was really cool.
Oh, yeah. See, you completely forgot about that.
And funny. But it was like, so severe in not its violence, but, like, okay, the stakes are really high. The Hulk is just running amok in this place, and his mind has been tampered with. But when him and Tony are fighting, there's still that humor, that levity in it.
No, you're right, but I couldn't help but think and let my mind take me back to Hulk Gray when Tony comes back with that destroyer and he tries to take out the Hulk, and not in a comedic way. It was very degrading and insulting the way he did it in Hulk Gray, you know what I mean? So, and because I remember that episode kind of being a little bit more somber, and a little gray, I couldn't help but...
That's a good callback.
...let my mind take me there and feel bad.
But you see, now that you mentioned that, right? Knowing that there is that sort of link between Iron Man being the one to kind of go after the Hulk, if need be. Seeing that now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's those little things that are satisfying when you're familiar with the material. It means so much more. Because now you're seeing, it's like, wow, they really brought this to life in such a cool way. Even though it's not exactly... the way it was, they're making the right reference, which is neat.
I don't think, you know what, I might change my mind later on because I only saw it once and I can't really remember. There was so many fight scenes. I think one of my favorite things of the movie is just when they were chilling, when they were together.
Yeah.
My favorite scene, I think it was just when they were just kicking it and everyone was trying to see who can pick up Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And when it... spoilers, when it appeared as though someone was capable, you could see Thor's face change, like...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, nice. And then, like, a thing of relief over his face. He's like, ha, ha, ha. Oh. like when Thing couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that was funny. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
When they're just chill, it's good.
Yeah, it's true, because you...
Because all you do is you only ever see them run around and...
Well, you want to see them like that.
Of course you do, but when you see them in something not so common, right. You see them in a different light.
Yeah, when you see them be human.
Yeah.
It's true. It means so much more.
Or when they went to the farm and they're just kind of just standing around.
Cutting like, wood.
There's no chaos. There's no
That's
one
the
to...
character building.
There's no one. No one has to be saved. No one's on the... hanging by a cliff. Like... they're just sitting around having some juice.
And it's such an amazing balancing act, too, that you know that Iron Man and Captain America are going to go off to have their own story.
Mm-hmm.
But you also see that this character now is about to go off and do this story. Like, nobody was left behind to kind of be like, well, they just threw that away. They didn't use them. What a waste.
Yeah.
Everybody was put in a perfect position, like on a chessboard, to be like, okay, this is going to go here. That's going to be placed there when the time is right. And now that we're going into the phase 3 of the Marvel Universe, there's so many things to be excited for. Because you know Thor is going to have something big happening. You know that there's even a possibility that what's the Hulk going to be doing now? What's Hawkeye going to be doing now? There's so many different things that are threads that can be pulled on and can lead somewhere else. So it's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So you like the villain?
I do.
Who's your favorite Avenger?
In this movie or overall?
In this movie.
In this movie. I want to say... Oh my goodness. Who's an Avenger again? There's Widow. There's so many! There's Widow, there's Hulk, there's Captain America, Thor, Stark, Vision. But these are the original five. Oh no, and Hawkeye!
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Captain America and Thor.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, fist bump.
High five. Oh, okay, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, me too. Those are my favorite as well. I love seeing them together. Yeah. I like seeing them team up. As far as Marvel characters are concerned, they're two of my favorite, maybe my top four favorite Marvel characters. So seeing them be portrayed so well,
mm-hmm.
and say things that I have read them say, like that kind of stuff. And I'm so surprised that the more Chris Evans plays Captain America...
I can't see anyone else playing that role except him.
I never thought he could do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, they took these guys who played Johnny Storm, right? And he was... I did not expect him to pull off Captain. I'm like, why are they picking
him?
He
was Harvard Hottie.
Yes.
In Nanny Diaries with Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, that's right.
This is like Nanny Diaries Part 3. Right?
Yeah,
Because in his Winter Soldier, she was in that too.
That's right. Good call.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that they had... Like, there's all of them are A-listers playing these well-known characters, but doing a great job at it.
I think that's what happens, right? Like, there's always that skeptical thing of, oh, are they going to do it justice? And when they deliver, that you...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. Thanks, Little Sparrow. Thanks, our wild card. We got an in.
And we can do a first review of it before most people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, fist pump. Anything else you want to add to the Age of Ultron?
Kids, please, can you just sit down through the credits and watch the end for those end credit scenes? I don't know what it is, why people to this day are still getting up and leaving.
I honestly feel...
It's almost like if you leave, you almost don't deserve to stay.
I feel disrespected.
You might as well just...
It's like, you are a disrespectful person.
This is just a tip from the Cave of Solitude.
And then afterwards, when you tell people, hey, did you see that end credit scene? Because it's important. Because that's what you don't understand the next movie. He's like, what end credit scene? I'm like, hey, man, for real?
Take it from us. If you take anything away from this show, stay till the end.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
It pays off. There's no end credit scene in this movie. We will say that. Nothing at, like, the very, very end. But there is a mid-credit scene, so stick around for that. Don't miss out on it, because it's exciting. And it will be somebody you know this time, which is good, right?
Yeah.
Are you excited for the next one?
No.
What? All this talk? No.
I gotta get pumped.
It's true. It's a couple years away.
Like, when it says at the end, Avengers, you know, eventual return, it's like...
Yeah, when?
I'm already, like, exhausted by all the chaos. By the way... Also, you want to know what my favorite part is before we go?
Dígame.
The dog makes it.
Yes. I didn't even know there was a dog there. I think they just did that for you. People like you, they're like, there's dogs somewhere there that are not making it. And right
as
out of nowhere.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Then it's true. You actually said it out loud.
Sigh of relief. All these people not making it, but the one dog that did, I felt so much better.
It's true.
It's always good. I'm that kind of person that I don't care who dies, but as long as the dog makes it, I'm all good to go.
So every Avenger could have died, but if that dog was at the end of the movie panting, we're in good shape. Ugh. Very good, Daphne J. We will return soon to the Cave of Solitude. We've got a couple of other episodes lined up in the chamber, ready to be popped off. We're excited. We'll be back very soon. And we thank you for listening. Guys, go watch The Avengers, Age of Ultron. It was awesome. Let us know what you think of other movies that are coming out. If you've seen any of these trailers that we mentioned, or if you've seen Daredevil or the Age of Ultron sequel, let us know what you guys think of it. You can reach us at caveofsolitude.com. You can leave a comment on our page. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Or follow us on Instagram, Cave of Solitude. I'm Eric Anthony.
I'm Daphne J.
Take it easy, everybody.